Hello and welcome to the Campaign podcast. I am Lucy Shelley, tech editor at Campaign, and this week is the finals of the Euros 2024. So to celebrate in Campaign style, let's talk about the ads. And so we are going to go behind the scenes of one of the ads of this year's championship. With us in the studio today, we have Ben Mood, Chief Creative Officer at Publicis Group UK, who's going to be lifting the veil on EE's Hate Not In My Shirt campaign by Saatchi & Saatchi. Hello, Ben. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Hello, hello. Yeah, very well. Very excited. Bored to tears by Gareth's team. But, nevertheless, here we are.
I know. After the boredom we faced on the, I can't remember which game it was, but it was the carbon copy last Saturday, wasn't it? But we live, we learn. But you're currently, back in the south of France after Cannes. And are you watching the games there as well?
Yeah, watching the games. I'm on holiday, actually. So I'm watching the games with French commentary, which is sort of relentless. And, a couple of kids in England shirts. I have to explain that the boredom punctuated with brief moments of ludicrous excitement is that's what England is.
Yeah, it's a real yo-yo. All right, okay, well, let's talk about some Euros ads. We've had a real array of ads surrounding the Euros this year. Obviously, we've had Hellman's and Jack Grealish, which was an interesting turn of events for the brand, which I think they turned around quite well. But I wondered, what's the favourite ad that you've seen around the Euros?
I did, coming back to Hellman's, I did think about Jack Grealish during the game, thinking, where is he? Obviously, probably at a barbecue somewhere. Yeah. I wonder where he was watching. I think my son said to me, where do you think he's watching the game? Mm. Probably, Dubai, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely.
Favourite Euros ad? There hasn't, I don't think there's been a ton this year, and you sort of wait. And maybe it's because Euros isn't the same as a World Cup and you don't get all of the sort of global stars coming out. The one that got me actually was Hey Jude, the Adidas ad, which was just felt right. And I think half of football advertising comes down to feelings and whether you can push the right buttons of emotion and stuff. I think people were waiting for and got it with that Hey Jude ad, which was sort of nuts that I went to look at the writers and stuff, and it's an American agency, which is amazing to hit the nail on the head so well for proper English feelings. I imagine there's English team or something there. But
I was going to say, imagine they'd have to consult an English team unless they were just,
Or it might be an English creative team working in New York, I'm not sure. It could have been really trite. It could have been a bit overblown. But I don't know, they nailed the sort of retrospective stuff, like the looking back at the penalty shootout and on the, the bit in Euro 96 where Gazza nearly makes the ball, That's really, that sort of puts you back there straight away. And then obviously the sort of Phoenix from the Flames, Jude as saviour. And again, that could have been kind of trite. The fact it wasn't the original Hey Jude, but obviously they've been given a McCartney re-record to work with. But it still got you. And actually, it's the minute you see the real footage of young Jude in a, whatever he is, 8-year-old Birmingham Sunday League team. And then cut to today and all of the expectations, which actually talking now and seeing what he's done in the tournament, like that moment of sheer brilliance, the ad sort of came to pass, really. All of that sort of context and pregnant expectation at the start of the tournament really paid off.
It's one of the things that you can't really predict, can you, about the conversations around players as the tournament goes on. But obviously, Jude has been, as he always is, but he's been an incredibly important part in the last couple of games.
Yeah, the weight of expectation. And if you're Adidas, you've got an asset like that, I imagine. It's a bit like, I'm old enough to remember the Beckham pre-France 98, with a massive attack tune. There is that weight of expectation. And of course, Adidas knew they had the genuine superstar, Marvel Comics Jude Bellingham, who looks and sounds and is everyone's saviour.
And we will talk about the EE ad in just a moment, which also, plays on feelings and emotions. We talk about love, we talk about hate. and the importance of doing that as well. But let's talk about what people want when it comes to Euros advertising. We've spoken a bit about the kind of the varied angles that different brands have taken, but how's it different to advertising during other cultural moments and events?
I think with any cultural event, there's a countdown leading up to the event. So the advertising has this sort of sense of expectation written into it. There's this thing coming. So how do you deal with the thing that's coming? Either you try and tingle the spine, a la the Hey Jude, or you can have more levity with it and play into the here we go again nature, especially from the English point of view. So that's where the Paddy Power ad was incredibly successful, because you're dealing with not just tongue-in-cheek English perceptions of themselves, but obviously what the rest of Europe think of the English, which is an inevitable thing going into the tournaments when you look at the, you know, 24 different countries from around Europe, and, you know, obviously the English with their inflated self-importance, you know. And actually the thing I liked about the Paddy Power ad, which was, again, it's so mad to look at it looking back, was the sense that, oh, we're obviously the favourites, because in England, the bookmakers make England the favourites, Kelsa Priest. And then so having that as a truth and playing into that and all of the stuff that goes with it, I think was very, very true. That, the Iron Brew, the Manshaft thing for Scotland, it was, again, that was quite funny. People, as ever, just want to be entertained, because it's a bit like the Super Bowl stuff, you know, you have this mass entertaining spectacle. So the ads have the contract of the ads is that they have to entertain you as much as the spectacle on show. And entertainment either comes in, you know, raw emotion, big drama, comedy a lot of the time. And I think that's why maybe the ones that sort of phone it in a bit, or the ones that sort of pay lip service to we're the best supporter of the team, yeah, type brands, that's why I think I imagine don't work. They certainly wash over me.
Yeah. Well, the ads that you just listed there, and the Adidas is one in the way that you explained it earlier as well, they play into kind of real knowledge, real feeling, and the kind of real context of England, yeah, and English supporter. And I think that's, you know, why they do so, yeah, well, and kind of cut through as well. So let's talk about the EE ad. EE is the lead commercial partner of the Home Nations teams. And this is a brilliant ad. There's two versions of the film ad, one for the Scotland team and one for the England team. And it's set to the soundtrack of Joy Division's Love Will Tear Us Apart. The ad calls on the nation to challenge hate in football and make people proud to wear the shirt, while highlighting the behaviour not fit for it ahead of the Euros. You can head to the campaign site to watch the ad in full, but we have given you a little clip for you to listen to it in the podcast now. This is EE's Hate Not In My Shirt by Saatchi & Saatchi.
Are you fit to wear a shirt?
She's trying.
So let's talk a bit about this. What was the brief from EE, and how did the whole process begin?
Well, the brief from EE was actually quite simple, going back to what we just talked about. And not wanting to be a phoning it in brand. They're the lead sponsor of the Home Nations, so England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. And they genuinely play a really active role with that sponsorship. They sponsor, obviously, the training kits, which is actually where the idea initially came from, because you had the logo on the training kits. But they have massive programs that going to grassroots football, all forms of football. They're very big on women's football across all forms of the sport. So they play this active role, and they wanted the advertising and the sponsorship to be as active as the role that they signed up for. Equally, they in the previous two tournaments, there was a legacy starting with the BT brand and then moved to EE. We had this thing called Hope United, which was a team, a sort of Avengers Assembled squad of home nations players that formed to call out online abuse in any kind, whether that was misogyny or homophobia or racism, and actively showed followers how to block online abuse, you know, how to call it out, you know, all of that stuff. And that was very, very successful, but that had gone for a few years. So, and I think actually the partnership had gone even deeper. And actually the last time, it's funny, again, watching the tournament with all of this in the back of my mind and seeing Bukayo Saka take that penalty and stand there beaming with what he'd done. And actually Jadon Sancho texting him saying, "You did that for me and Marcus." That's when the genesis of the idea came from. Was I think there was a quote that Jude Bellingham said, "When you're a player, when you're English, and as soon as you miss a penalty, then you're black." And even at the start of this tournament, the sheer levels of online abuse, online offline abuse, is just unacceptable. And EE, as the lead sponsor, can actively do something about it. They have those channels. The phone is a tool that is a conduit for some of this sort of pond life, as the director calls it. And there's such a huge company and such a huge supporter of football that it would be remiss of them to not use their platform for good in some way.
One of my favourite moments of the ad actually was at the very beginning in the EE typeface. They have, I think it begins at a 90-minute timer and then goes forward, basically showing to the viewer that it's now up to you. The game's over, and how the game plays going forward is now up to you, how you decide to act. So I thought there's lots of really lovely moments in it like that.
Yeah. Well, we have that, and actually in all of the ads, it's a smart use of branding the ad as an EE thing with the EE dots that come up, but they always form the timestamp of what moment we're talking about. And it's good cinematic language to go, okay, you know, like the freedom that the school kids have, we did last year, was like, you know, the moment the bell goes, 3:59 p.m. So this one, obviously, we were talking about, okay, so what time is it? And exactly as you said, yeah, it has to be the moment it ticks into extra time, with the onus being on the viewer, right, this could go either way. What side of history are you going to be on? You know, and actually that's why the ad starts with the shade before the light comes. You see all of the abuse that you get, whether that's in the stands or online, you know, get out of our country, all of that sort of stuff. And then as the ad goes forward, I think the viewer is very clearly delineated with, like, what choice are you going to make? And we pose the question, are you fit to wear the shirt? Which is obviously the classic touchline go-to abuse, you're not fit to wear the shirt. And it struck us actually that, again, going back to, there are so many shirts that are part of the football tapestry. Like, obviously it's the one that we sponsor, so that when they come out and do the interviews, like Harry Kane is wearing a shirt with EE on, and clearly what Southgate's done is foster a culture where all of these people are fit to wear the shirt, and they've got each other's back, and they know the values of what it means to play for their country, and also to be a good citizen and ambassador. But then there's the other shirts. Like, there's the shirt that you wear in the pub when you're supporting, or you wear on the terraces. So you have to be fit to wear that. You can't be doing those songs that the English used to do. And also, it's the shirt that you or your kids will be wearing on a Sunday morning. And so, you know, raising people up in the right way to be a proper supporter. We call it a proud supporter, and we have this proud supporter program that everything directs to, because, you know, it's funny, you often see that you're a proud supporter of Team X or proud supporter of football, and it's like, are you really proud? Does it actually mean anything? Yeah. So, you know, we wanted to invest that this is what we believe pride means.
You're right, it's a phrase that people use so often, but so I guess the goal there is, you know, to actually re-put the meaning back into it and say it with honesty. And yeah. So you mentioned how the timestamp is a theme across EE's ads, but the song choice, I think, is also very important across all of EE's ads. It plays a very prevalent role. And you can't really talk about this ad without talking about the Joy Division track that was chosen. Can you talk us through why you chose this song and why you chose to lean so heavily on it?
Well, we wanted a song. I think we had a shortlist of this. Actually, it was a shortlist of one. So we were all in on it. Obviously, we shot to it. So you see the people singing it in the ad. So yeah, we got all the rights. We got the two camps. They're called Camp A and Camp B. And you know that Camp A is Bernard Sumner and the other two, and Camp B is Peter Hook. And so we have one afternoon where like Camp A's in, so we're all just waiting on whether Hooky's going to give us permission or not. The overall music strategy, he says loftily, for EE is basically big British bangers that haven't been used on advertising before, that you know that sort of form part of the tapestry. That could be anywhere. We've gone, you know, we've gone like 90s dance music. We've gone sort of 2000s emo. We're about to launch one with a punk song on, you know, we could go to musical theatre next. I don't know. We know it's one of those as well. You sort of know it when you feel it. And this was a football-y song. Like it's been sung on the versions, you know, Gigs Will Tear You Apart has been sung on the Touchline before. And obviously Joy Division, three quarters of them did World in Motion. So it feels like it's a football-y culture. But more important than that, it's absolutely loaded with the right kind of emotion. And when you're showing hate, to have a really emotive song that talks about love and the possibility of it going either way, absolutely. So there is this, you know, what side of history are you going to be on? Mm. Are you going to stand together or be torn apart? And also there's that bit of like, everyone knows it, and the moment the sort of the first chord comes in, something awakes inside you, and you're like, oh, it's this one.
Yeah.
And the amount of, I think obviously you get lots of nice messages and stuff, but it's all about the music. Like lots of, you bastard, how did you get that music?
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
Which is the praise I take the highest.
It's a great choice for so many reasons, but I think one of my favourite reasons is the fact that because it's an anthem song, it's a song you want to sing along. So if you're watching the TV in the pub or, you know, at home, you are then brought closer to the game because, you know, you sing along and you brought close to the ad as well. How far along into the creative process did you decide on that song?
Well, I think we're probably on day two or something. It was a right up. Yeah. When we write the ads, it's always, we always have the moment and the song off part of like the briefing process. Actually, it was the same team of us that did the first George and Sam and Will. We wrote this just after the last lot had come out on the, you know, doing okay. So we was immediately back in the groove, I think, on that.
What does success look like with this ad? Because the ad appears in a lot of different forms. It's in out of home, in various different forms. You've got the film ad, you've got the programme as proud supporters that you were talking about. So when the Euros is over, how are you measuring the impact of the ad and what does good look like?
I think even before the Euros is over, the ad is sort of self-measures a bit. Well, and I know that's a slightly lofty thing to say, but when Saka scored and then, you know, we made a deliberate thing. We have Rashford and we shot Rashford before the squad announcement happened. And so we had a call to make of, do we keep Marcus in this or not? Because that's a big call because obviously we've all seen the headlines of the Hellman's-esque stuff of like what happens if you hang everything on a player. But it felt like actually having Rashford in there was more than just a footballer. He felt like, you know, such an ambassador for, you know, everything he's done, but also the wall last time. So actually, in terms of measurement, when it was on the break of the England game and when the penalties were happening, like having Rashford there felt like that's a measurement that, you know, that was a good call to make at that point. To have Trent scoring the winning penalty, having gone through the abuse earlier and the, you know, being dropped and sort of semi-hung out to dry in the first couple of games, I think that was a bit of contextual measurement. Like in terms of afterwards, it's very hard because the sponsorship alone does loads for EE. It's a massive asset. And I think, you know, in terms of the deeper they go in the tournament, the more you see interviews with the players in the training kits, the more that those, you know, content pieces get more eyeballs, because suddenly the stone keeps rolling and everybody wants to look at it. So it'll be hard to separate the ad from the general sponsorship of a successful team in the Euros, because that's why they're in the game. Certainly, though, there are specific anti-hate measures. You know, we have the Proud Supporters Club site, the hub of which is the eLearn. So we'll obviously measure all of the traffic to that. But a lot of the stuff is a slower burn, I think. You know, when you're talking about societal change and an unacceptance of hate in whatever shirt you're wearing, you know, that's not a 4-week spike. Like, you know, we haven't immediately dealt with this issue as much as, you know, certain previous governments would want us to think. In terms of ad effectiveness, it's funny because we're not selling anything. We're selling the idea of being a good supporter and e-sponsorship and hopefully selling a behavioural change. So we'll monitor everything and we'll cure society's ills on the back of a 30-second bit of coffee.
For that exact reason, then, is it a campaign that's going to resurface with the same song?
I don't know about the same song, but the position absolutely will carry on. I think purely because this work is never done, especially while there are trolls and online hate and cowardice like that. I think when it comes to sponsorship, the EE marketing team and the CEO, actually Mark Alira, has a really strong opinion that he doesn't want to be, you know, a branding exercise. He wants it to stand for something. They'll be doing the World Cup, the same thing. The contract still runs for there. This is the fourth iteration of an anti-hate message for Three Hope United, and not in my shirt. I imagine it'll be the same, probably a different execution, but same idea.
Yeah, but I hope you can reuse the song again, because I feel like it's too good. Yeah. It's too good to let go.
Hey, you never know. Maybe so.
So I did. I mentioned briefly that the campaign appeared in many different forms across different formats and channels. What's the key to ensuring creative fluency across all these channels so they all help amplify the same message?
Well, there's a couple of things, really. One is a central thought that everything has to hang on. And actually with Not In My Shirt, that felt like almost a mini manifesto. It was a central thought that you could execute against in any way. And also like a tonal playbook, and all of the agencies, the media agency who'd done all of the sort of content partnerships. So we're dealing with like external people like Versus and Lad Bible. And then also, obviously, all of the Digitas, Boomerang, Saatchi lot, where we had the central tonal guidance. But everything basically comes down to the shirt and Not In My Shirt. And so having a central asset to talk about what it means to wear a shirt, a replica shirt, a Sunday League shirt, that felt fairly, you know, fluid, actually. So we could have that in the film, so you see all of those things in the film. You see players wearing the shirt, you see fans on the terraces and in the pub, and the Sunday League girls. And we replicate that across all of the media. So you have like how to be a better touchline dad video on the Proud Supporter Club, for example. And then we had a partnership with the Rest Is Football. So we had Shearer and Lineker and Micah Richards talking about what it means to wear the shirt from the people who have literally been inside it and the values. And, you know, Lineker played with John Barnes and Micah Richards has lived experience of abuse. So that is, it was just a really interesting idea to talk about what's acceptable or not in the shirt. We just did a bit of online content where we got loads of former England players and captains just to talk about this, what it means to wear the shirt without misogyny and homophobia. This is my shirt. There are many like it, but this one is mine. And to hear, we had Jeff Hurst and Shearer and Butcher and Sol Campbell and John Barnes talking about, you know, what it means to wear the shirt. And yeah, I think having a central asset that's a thing, the shirt, really helps as well.
Mm. I was going to mention on that, that's kind of a really interesting part of the campaign, because it was a paid spot within their podcast, Restless Football, which then encouraged an organic 15-minute conversation about the campaign and what it stood for after that, which, you know, just shows the power and the importance as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, literally, we like any branded podcast up front, you have like, here's the issue, you know, you're talking about what it means to wear the shirt. And once the advertising bit had finished, like, they kept talking about it. And I think because it's such a, you know, it touches such a nerve, obviously. And again, on the eve of the tournament, and don't forget, you know, you've got last time on the Euros, it finished in the, you know, the disaster of Wembley and loads of online abuse and Marcus Rashford's wall being trashed. So when you're picking up the narrative this time, you know, it's so important that I think that you reference what happened last time. And I think clearly that's the nerve it touches, and they all, you know, they felt the same and ran with that.
Well, Ben, we've got the game on Wednesday. England are in the semi-finals. What are your predictions? Do you think we'll make it to the final?
Yeah, no, we'll make it to the final. We definitely will. I think, you know, who knew that all we had to do was bore everybody into submission.
Make no substitutions till the final minute.
And it's literally utter turgidness, but with one, you know, divine inspiration, whether it's overhead kicks or like that Saka last minute or the penalty. In fact, the only thing, it's really weird to be really confident about penalties. having, you know, and so like, yeah, I think...
I'll take it though. I'll happily be weirdly confident about it.
You know what, like, they're playing Wout Weghorst up front. Like, we've got nothing to, he says, as Wout heads in the 90th minute winner. No, we'll make it, and then we'll lose heroically to Spain in the final.
All right. Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, taking us through the I Hate Not In My Shirt campaign by EE, made by Saatchi & Saatchi. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks so much, Lucy.
If you'd like to learn more about what we have been discussing today, please visit our website, campaignlive.co.uk. Details of our subscriptions are available at campaignlive.co.uk/membership. If you enjoyed this episode of the Campaign Podcast, please follow us, like us, and leave a review wherever you listen to them. A big thank you to Haymarket podcast producer Till Owen, and thank you to you for listening. I hope you'll join us next time, and on behalf of the Campaign team, goodbye.